Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Ladies, I wonder if any of you like my wife. She's a very good driver, but she hasn't got a clue what's under the bonnet. In fact, I'm not sure she knows how to put petrol in the car. But, you know, it doesn't bother her. She can drive. And, you know, it reminds me, there are many things I don't understand. You know what? It doesn't bother me. Why? Because of what I do know and understand. I reflect on the words of the Apostle Paul. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live my life trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How do I know he loved me? Well, this morning we're celebrating what? Communion service, we're celebrating God's amazing, incredible love. So when I don't understand things, I don't worry about it. I reflect on the Apostle Paul's words. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. I think to myself, what an amazing God. So let's join together. Let's worship. Let's praise him. In Christ alone, we can trust him.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my soul. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What height of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my Lord in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in a helpless babe, his gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. The world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the blood of Christ I stand.
Please be seated. Any birthdays? Oh, right. And what's the name of that handsome young man? Connor. I won't ask you how old you are, Connor, but you look a very intelligent young man. Now, Connor, I mean, dare I ask you to wear this hat?
Yes!
I mean, what about your credibility? Now, nobody take any photographs, please. Go on, Connor, put this hat on and show us that you're a real man. You can cope with every situation. Right. Now, can we get the words right?
Yes, we can.
Because I think sometimes I use one word and sometimes another. Happy birthday to you. Just one will not do. Put your trust now in Jesus, and then you'll have two. But say whatever you like.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Happy birthday to you. Just one will not do. Put your faith now in Jesus, and then you'll have to. Let's pray for Connor. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that every year we have, every birthday we have, reminds us of your goodness, your grace, your love, and your mercy. We thank you for Connor and his contribution to our church family. We pray for him, Lord. Day by day, you will bless him, inspire him, give him joy, and use him for your glory. We thank you for him. We pray for him in the Savior's name. Amen. Sarah, over to you. And to make sure I don't miss any of the words, I'm going to sit there. I can hear better. I'm getting old, you know.
Morning, everybody, on this very rainy morning, so thank you all for coming. Just one thing, the main thing really this week is that the live streaming of every service will end next week. You will be able to catch up if you want, if you feel like you want to catch up at home during the week. That will be available sometime during the week, as it was before, on our website. And it will be not only the audio link, but there'll be a visual link to it, to the sermon itself. Richard, have I got that correct?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, that's good. I'm not very good at technology. And obviously, I'm here also to reiterate that we're here on a Tuesday as well. It's a small service, and I think the people who have come on a Tuesday would say that it is really lovely. You do get cups and saucers with tea at the end because we're just such a little congregation, such a small congregation, we're able to do that and feel that's quite safe to do. So if you're free on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock, please come and see us. Okay, thank you. I also need to introduce Cheryl. Sorry, John. Cheryl's got something she'd like to read out as well.
Hello, everybody. It's a long time since I've been up here. This is not a report, but my reflections, the things that stood out to me from a meeting we had. I was inspired by these people. These people from St. John's Spark Hill, one of Toby's new churches. It was purely by coincidence at a meeting of the Deanery Synod, although someone once said to me that with God there is no such thing as coincidence. We sat in front and they behind us. Then Toby arrived sporting a now bushy beard and a Doctor Who scarf. I was so happy to see him. The meeting was encouraging, as once again this church is already doing many of the things suggested to us in Eco Church and Transforming Church. From conversations, our progress through and out of COVID, and our attendance figures, we are doing really well. But especially, I was inspired by the oh-so-natural comments about outreach in such a strongly a Muslim community as Spark Hill. The response of, there is always opportunity for outreach, and we try to be the light of Christ in the community, build bridges and give help and support with activities such as litter picking and helping hands, practical things and offers of prayer. They said, "Some Muslims come into the church to pray and we pray with them. They sometimes ask us to pray for them because they say our prayers are more effective than theirs. There's a lot of litter in Spark Hill, and when they litter picked, they were asked, 'Why do you do this?' It makes a difference just doing things because they are the right thing to do, the Christ thing to do, the neighbourly thing to do. They were ordinary, everyday people, open to possibility and hope. To be the light of Christ, it is the everyday things, the smile, the offer of help, the genuine inquiry of how you are, the offer of your gifts to others, those who make cakes, knit, give lifts, pray, are outgoing, or more thoughtful, etc. Thank you to you all. It makes a difference. There are always opportunities for outreach. Just try and be the light of Christ in the world. Thank you, St. John Spark Hill."
Thank you very much. Yes, Toby's got a real job there, and I think he's the right person, the right man for that job, really. I was very impressed. I went to his induction and I thought, wow, Toby, I'm glad it's you and not me. But I think he's got the qualities. We keep on praying, as the Lord has called him there, that he will be blessed. Well, it's time for the children to go out. Let's pray for the children. Gracious Father, we reflect how Jesus put such an emphasis on the need of for children and the joy of looking after children and caring for them. In your mercy, Lord, bless those who teach them, that they will establish them in their faith, that they may grow up to have a strong love for you and know they're loved by you. We ask your blessing on them in the Saviour's name. Amen. Children, off you go, and we look forward to seeing you later. We're reminded of the words of the Apostle John, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, God will forgive us, wipe the slate clean, and make sure our relationship is restored. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So let us then show our love for him by confessing our sins in penitence and faith. We say together, for all the times we've gone our own way, Father, forgive us. You tell us to follow you. For all the times we have put ourselves before you and our service to others, Father, forgive us. You tell us to love. For all the times we have been selfish with the things that you give us, Father, forgive us. You tell us to share, to follow you, to love others and share with them. Father, forgive us. You tell us to change. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with heartfelt repentance and true faith turn to him, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and bring you to everlasting life. All this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. An innovation, and how wonderful. If you turn to page in your Bibles, page 543, the words of Psalm 1, and I gather you used to read the psalm together. Page 243. Thank you, you're awake. 543. Yes, we're going to say it together, right. Blessed is the man. Now we listen to the Bible being read to us, ready for the sermon, please.
This morning's reading comes from Ephesians chapter 3, and we're starting at the beginning. Like to find it, that'd be great. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'm reading Galatians, thank you. Give me a minute. Galatians, Ephesians. I'm only one book out. Thank you, Rob. Take two. We're reading Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by the revelation I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has been now revealed by the Spirit of God, holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promised in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled in the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Glad we had the correct reading in the end. It would have been difficult to preach on Galatians. Yes, you made me think. Right, shall we pray? Lord, as you have shown us, we should be ready for your intervention, your surprise. We pray, Lord, that in your power, the words that we hear this morning will speak to our hearts and minds and live in them and come out as practical action in your name. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. So, Paul says in our reading today from Ephesians, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." Paul claims that he is a prisoner of Jesus for our sake. The Gentiles, us who are not Jews. There are several definitions of a prisoner. For instance, a prisoner is a person who is kept in prison as a punishment for a crime that they have committed. Paul is certainly held for alleged crimes against the Jewish faith, blasphemy, treason, and is held by the Romans in Rome because he has appealed to the emperor to hear his case. Also, a prisoner is a person who has been captured by an enemy, for example, in war, although that's not the only example. Paul is certainly perceived as an enemy by those in power in Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin and others in particular, and they say he is stirring up anti-Roman feeling and activity, maybe leading to warfare. He is certainly a captive. Another definition is, if you say that you are a prisoner of a situation, it means that you are trapped by it. Paul is certainly a prisoner of a situation, but it is made by his preaching the gospel of and about Jesus Christ. He is a prisoner of Jesus because he was commissioned directly by him through the Holy Spirit on the road to Damascus. He was challenged and he had no answer to Jesus himself other than to believe that Jesus was the Son of God and to take that message to people everywhere, particularly the Gentiles. And at the start of our reading, message from about Paul, it was in Acts, it says, "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me." And that's Acts 26, verses 15 to 18, if you want to have a look later. Now, he's talking about a particular group of people, not the Jews themselves. So my first point will be, what are we held prisoner by? What holds us back from truly following Jesus Christ and therefore his Father, our Lord God? Think now on a personal level, what blocks each of us from living up to our potential as a believer and a follower of Christ? Now, I've listed some things, but these are not the only things. Think personally if there's anything else that may be blocking you. So, could it be time? Could it be money? Or the lack of it? Is it fear being challenged as to our faith and belief in a God that we can't hear, see, or touch, or so others say? Are we not good enough? Too sinful? Are we limited in our talent and expertise? Are we unable to live up to God's expectations of us? So we should listen to Paul's words in verses 2 to 5 of this reading. "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit of to God's holy apostles and prophets. Paul was the most active persecutor of the followers of Christ. He was finding them, prosecuting them, and even stoning them to death. He ardently followed the Jewish leaders and challenged the new Christians. And then, after his challenge on the road, he suddenly totally changed. His spiritual imprisonment was ended by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Paul was released from his personal imprisonment by the acceptance of God's grace and mercy. By his confession and acceptance of Jesus, he was released by the Holy Spirit to do God's work. Paul, prior to his physical imprisonment, had made three journeys throughout the Middle East, delivering God's word to all who would listen. He opened eyes, ears, and hearts to this good news. And in verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, that's the Jewish nation, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Paul releases them and us from the chains that bind us to death. He gives a vision of eternal life and togetherness with God in his kingdom. Paul enables all to access God. So again, we journey on, verses 7 and 9. I become a servant of this gospel, note the word servant, by the gift of God's grace, given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all Lord's people, this grace was given to me, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. So the second point is Paul is stating that we can all be members of God's family, regardless of race, colour, creed, status or situation. The least being can become the most because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The cross is the final solution to sin, the thing that separates us from God eternally. Because of Jesus, God only sees the purity of his Son, not our perpetual failures as we are imprisoned by sin. Jesus releases us from the bondage of sin. We are purchased from death by his once and for all sacrifice. Verses 10 to 11. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we are told that no one can interfere with our access to God because he, Jesus, has power over all the heavenly authorities, including Satan. His lordship is complete and also his kingdom is complete. It is just waiting to be finalized as and when he has already planned and ordained. So why do we cower away, imprisoned by our lack of faith? We should believe, as did Paul, that we are given the boundless riches of Christ to show who Jesus is and why they and us should have faith in his good news. We are told that God's power is limitless and that we should use it. We should be boundless in prayer, boundless in faith and energy, taking the gospel everywhere. Verses 12 and 13. In him and through faith in him, we may approach with God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings, that's Paul's, which are for your glory. The church, therefore, the people, not the buildings, are to be vessels of the Holy Spirit, to take God's word to the whole world, regardless of who we are or where we come from. Our background is not important, just our willingness to be God's voice, body, and purpose. Not perfect yet, but willing. Even in jail, like Paul, we can fulfill God's purpose. If we are true Christians, He, Christ, lives in us and through us. We are in Him and He is in us. The boundless riches of Christ are ours to share. And so finally, Paul kneels in prayer for the Ephesian believers, verse 14 and 15. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Paul realizes that all human beings have a relatively short time on earth. From the moment we are born, we age and we head towards death. Morbid, I know, but true. I'm glad we got a smile anyway. That was good. But we have family, a family given its name by God, the church. And our family is both in heaven already and on earth. As God's children, therefore, we have the rights of family members, spirit-filled and repentant believers in Jesus Christ, to travel from this earthly domain to the next, heaven. Our place is assured, is guaranteed by our faith and Jesus Christ. Verses 16 and 17. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. There is nothing we can do in our own power. All is provided through Jesus. Jesus in us. So, I have a wooden cross. It's plain. It's nothing special. I can't even remember where we got it. Still got a little price label on the back. But the thing is, what does it mean? It reminds me, first of all, that Jesus died, carried away my and our sin, and then he rose again, because it's empty, and to wait for us seated at his, our Father's, right hand. We are strengthened by our faith through the Holy Spirit in whatever situation we are in, good or bad. He gives spiritual strength to all believers. It is an inward strength which shines out to those around us, if we let it. And so in verses 17 to 19, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness in God. So, if we believe in this promise, what could we not do for God? His church family would spread to the ends of the earth. Again, that I hold at the cross, and its horizontal beam spreads from east to west and it circles the planet. The vertical beam spreads from hell through the earth and to heaven. God and therefore Christ's love are boundless. We can be filled with that love and grace if we but ask. God's love, power and grace are endless and insurmountable. So, in summary, what holds us prisoner? Is it God's love, purpose and spirit, or some earthly situation or problem? I ask this, am I truly a member of God's family, the church? That's a personal question for me, and it should be a personal question for everyone who comes to this building. If so, what holds me back from doing God's work? And finally, if we have God's Spirit with us and in us, we must believe that his church family, as his church family, we can accomplish anything if we are filled to the measure of all fullness of God. So I'm going to use the last two verses as our ending prayer, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. Praising God together in our next song, Salvation Song.
Love before the dawn of time, chosen by my Maker, hidden in my Saviour. I am His and He is mine, cherished for eternity. When I'm stained with guilt and sin, He is there to lift me, heal me and forgive me, gives me strength to stand again, stronger than I was before. So with every breath that I am given, I will sing salvation song, and I'll join the chorus of creation, giving praise to Christ alone. All the claims of Satan's curse, lifted through his offering, satisfied through suffering, all the blessings he deserves, poured on my unworthy soul. So with every breath that I am given, I will sing salvation song, and I'll join the chorus of creation, giving praise to Christ alone.
Whoever chose that lovely song, let's sit now as we're led into our intercessions by Joy.
Let us draw near to our just and merciful God and pour out our concerns for the church and for the world. Father, we thank you for all who has helped us to pray and to grasp something of your great love and power. We ask your blessing and empowering for all who teach and minister in your name, and that our worship will be an overflowing of our daily walk with you, an expression of our deepening love. We ask that you bless and guide your church here in Alnden and the other churches in the Hatchford Brook Churches Together group. We also remember our mission partners, Pablo Madrid Aguilera in Chile, Anne Gift and Catherine Iziku, and their children, James and Simon Peter, in Uganda. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for the beauty and diversity of your created world that we inhabit. We ask for the wisdom to tend it carefully, respecting the natural laws and sharing the resources, listening to the weak as well as the strident, the poor as well as the affluent and powerful. We pray for the UN Climate Change Summit, COP26, taking place at the beginning of November in Glasgow, and ask that the world leaders and government officials taking part will hear the voices of the countries that are most vulnerable to climate change. May they use their influence and resources to bring solutions to the table and justice to those most at risk. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for those whose work sustains our nation and this community in which we live, for all who create the wealth by which we trade, for those who grow and provide our food, or who in industry, commerce and transport bring it to our shops and homes. We thank you for those who day and night maintain public services, for the police, for those who respond to emergencies, and for all whose work is in health, healing or social care. Help us to remember that all our lives depend upon the work of many minds and hands, and we pray that we will live thankfully and in unity as members of one human family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for advances in medical knowledge and the hope of new treatments for many diseases. We pray for all in medical research and all whose lives are crippled or disadvantaged by illness, frailty or damage. Give comfort and reassurance, healing, wholeness and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those who mourn and especially for the family and friends of MP David Amos following his death on Friday, that they will know your comfort in their loss and sorrow. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for your wisdom and truth, your understanding and generosity. We acknowledge our total dependence on you and praise you for providing us with all we need. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We now wait for the children to come back. Welcome them back. They're coming. It's always nice to hear the patch of little feet. My word, you've been busy. Wow. Good.
Feedback now.
Yeah, go on. So, yes, tell us what you've done. Yeah,
so
yeah.
We have been looking at the story of Jacob this term, and what we've God is here. We've been making flags because what we've learned in the story of Jacob is that God was with him wherever he was and whatever he was doing in all sorts of different circumstances. So they've been doing dressing up, so whoever they are and whatever they become, God is with them, and. That's been the message from today. God is with us wherever we are, whoever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever we become. Okay?
Thank you so much. Yeah, give... Yes. It's always nice to know God is watching over us. You know, I bought an app today. Can I digress a minute? I bought an app on my phone, and I can find exactly where Margaret is anytime. I open my phone, and I can see where she is, where she's been. Now, it's not because I'm snooping. Honestly, I just want to make sure if she needs me, her memory is going a little bit funny, and she can't use the phone or something, I know where she is. I thought, God is always watching wherever I am. He's watching as though he's got nothing else to do, just watching to care for me. Thank you, children, for reminding us of that lovely, lovely message. So the peace of the Lord be always with you. And as we come to our communion, we remember. What do we remember? God's amazing grace and love. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him, you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him, you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. But you raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him, you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Take and eat this in remembrance. Christ died for you. Drink this in remembrance. Christ shed his blood for you. Christ shed his blood for you. Sorry. As our Savior taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Rob challenged us about sharing our faith and what's holding us back. This lovely song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Let's stand and rejoice and encourage one another.
ever-changing from glory to glory. Nearer, dear, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Place, men, place, set our hearts on fire. Flow, will flow, let the nations in grace and mercy send forth the word. Lord, and let them be loved.
So may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus flood our hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us. And remain with us now and until Jesus shall surely come, and then forevermore. Amen. Let's go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. And thank you again for those who chose the lovely music. And for those who led us in.